booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the WABC Early News, TGIF.
Yeah.
I am Frank Morano. Happy Friday, Juliet.
Hi, Frankie. Happy Friday to everybody. Let's get to some of the big headlines making news this morning.
This is the top five at five.
Four city unions ink a deal with the city itself, giving them more time for unvaccinated members to apply for exemptions. This is a big deal. The group includes the city's sanitation workers, but does not include FDNY and EMS employees. The deal allows workers to apply for either an exemption for religious or medical reasons, and they have until the end of the day today to do that applying. So you basically just have to get the paperwork going today. After that, they'll be allowed to work and still get paid while their case is pending.
The New Jersey State Senate president was ousted by a political novice truck driver who spent $153 on his Republican primary and less than $10,000 overall, dealing another blow to Democrats who ignored voters, pushed progressive agendas, and then underestimated surging GOP candidates. Edward Durr knocked off Democratic State Senator Stephen Sweeney in a stunning upset that follows the trend around the country. Sweeney was the longest-serving legislative leader in the history of New Jersey.
And apparently there are some offensive tweets that have come out by this Durr, so we'll see what happens with that. In the meantime, pet owners in New York City, beware. The piling up of filth on the streets of New York City is creating havoc for neighbors and their furry friends. The New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene data shows the number of cases of a dangerous bacterial disease that affects both humans and animals has skyrocketed. In fact, there are more leptospirosis cases in New York City this year than any other year in history. As of September 14th, humans were infected. 14 humans were infected. One died. And now the New York Post reporting a puppy named Disco died after suffering acute kidney failure caused by leptospirosis. Officials blaming the rat population contaminating water, soil, or food with its infected urine. Happy Friday, everybody. Ooh. Lovely story.
Well, New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams plans to convert his first paychecks into Bitcoin, as he vowed yesterday to make the city more welcoming to cryptocurrency. Adams announced in a Twitter post that he would take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin when he becomes mayor. Adams was responding to Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, who said he'll also take his next paycheck in Bitcoin. Adams' campaign spokesperson, Evan Thies, later clarified that the mayor-elect would convert his pay into Bitcoin through an exchange. The announcement was a clear statement of political support for cryptocurrency and follows remarks Adams made this week indicating he wants to attract more crypto jobs to New York.
And the Biden administration setting a vaccine mandate deadline for January 4th. The move taking into account the critical holiday retail season, obviously. The mandate applies to companies with 100 or more employees and is expected to affect roughly 84 million people. About 33 million of those, it's believed, are unvaccinated. Meantime, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday that his state will soon file suit against the president's mandate, joining Georgia, Alabama, and other private plaintiffs. Coming up, we have Matt Sapienza in with sports. We've got traffic and weather. But first, here are some of the other stories making news this morning.
What's trending?
What's trending around the nation? We're going to start right here in our own backyard. A 26-year-old woman was shot by a stray bullet while she was pushing her 2-year-old daughter in a baby carriage. This happened in the Bronx last night, police and sources say. The mother was struck in the thigh. This was right around Broadway and West 225th Street, happening just before 6 p.m. The child, thank God, was not injured. Police believe that the bullet was fired from an unknown man and that this woman was not a target. She just happened to be, unfortunately, in the way. She was taken to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, and the suspect is still on the loose. Also, to Florida, once again, where we once again talk about Governor Ron DeSantis, he's promising to create a law enforcement agency to look into election crimes and fraud. He said it'll be part of a new voting law package. He said he'll also come down hard on ballot harvesting and will increase restrictions on ballot drop boxes. And Colorado now, Southwest Airlines, man, they cannot seem to keep out of the headlines lately. This is a pretty bad PR debacle, I got to say. A white mom traveling with her black daughter was flagged as a potential human trafficker. Police say a flight attendant was suspicious because mom and her 10-year-old kid were the last to board the plane. Okay. And didn't speak to each other during the flight. By the way, I just flew 8 hours with my husband and we didn't say a word to each other on the flight. Just, you know.
A good way to avoid fighting.
Exactly. Apparently this woman and her daughter were taking an emergency flight to Denver because the woman's brother had just died. She says it's emblematic of the issues mixed race families face while traveling, and Southwest has released a statement saying, quote, "It regrets this family reports anything less than a positive experience while traveling with us." Mm. What a mea culpa that is.
Oof, that is for sure. All right, let me tell you about some other stories that are trending around the country and the nation. Barstool Sports founder Dave Portnoy is denying sexual misconduct allegations against him. Two women told Insider that Portnoy turned sexual encounters violent and humiliating. The women allege the incidents happened last year at Portnoy's Nantucket home. He took to Twitter to respond, calling the article a hit piece. Portnoy says the encounters were 100% consensual and that there was no weirdness afterwards. And the defense for the white man accused of killing two people during racial justice protests in Wisconsin might have gotten help from a prosecution witness yesterday. A witness testified that one of the men that Kyle Rittenhouse shot cursed and lunged for Rittenhouse's military-style rifle before he was shot. Testimony by journalist Richie McGinnis could strengthen the defense argument that Rittenhouse feared for his life. The now 18-year-old is charged with murdering two men and attempting to kill a third during a violent demonstration in Kenosha, Wisconsin. McGinnis testified that Joseph Rosenbaum swore and appeared to lunge for the front of Rittenhouse's weapon before the teenager shot him four times.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it's going to be an absolutely gorgeous day. Yes, it will be chilly, but it's a nice fall day if that's the kind of weather you like, and certainly the weather I like. High of 51 degrees, lots of sun. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy with a low of 37 degrees. Tomorrow, another nice day. Going to get a little bit warmer, actually. We'll have, get up to about 54 degrees, maybe 55 degrees. May have some afternoon clouds roll in, but it will mainly be sunny. It's going to be a nice weekend. Sunday will be a bit cloudier, but we will see some sun, and it actually will get a little bit warmer. And as we head into the work week next week, I'm looking at the low 60s and lots of sun. So the weekend's looking good. The first couple of days of the work week are looking even better. Currently, the temperature right now in Manhattan is 41 degrees.
The FBI is shedding new light on a possible link between the Saudi government and the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Yesterday, the agency released new documents noting it took a look into a number of Saudi nationals, including one based in Washington, D.C., who was an official for the Saudi embassy. The report from the Bureau also said it investigated to see if that individual took advantage of his role to supervise those who took part in the attacks. The 9/11 Commission report, which was released back in 2004, said the Saudi government had little knowledge of the hijackings, and this new information, which is the result of an effort led by some of the 9/11 families, would seem to call that into question. Mm. Opening statements are being given today in the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial. A Glynn County judge denied the defense's request yesterday to exclude police body cam footage showing Arbery on the ground after he was shot in a Brunswick, Georgia neighborhood last year. The suspects claimed they were trying to make a citizen's arrest after accusing Arbery of breaking into a home. The jury selection process lasted roughly 2.5 weeks. And we are also keeping an eye on another fascinating case where new technology and some dumpster diving are being credited with helping investigators solve a cold case murder in Orange County, Florida. Listen to this. Sheriff John Mina announced yesterday that Eustace Kenneth Stow Jr. was arrested this week in Lake County for killing Terrence Paquette 25 years ago. Mina says that detectives used genetic genealogy to identify the 54-year-old Stow as the suspect. According to the FDLE, DNA from the crime scene was uploaded to a genealogy database that showed matches to Stow's relatives, and Stow's DNA was lifted from a beer can that detectives retrieved after he threw it into a dumpster. What am I telling you all about this, Juliet? I'm always saying this is why I don't want to give my DNA to these companies. I don't want one of my relatives to be caught 40 years later.
Oh, I do. If one of my relatives did something horrible, I would be fine with them being taken
in.
You
don't know the circumstances, though. Why?
Oh, well, then that's for a jury to decide, isn't it?
Fair enough. All
yeah.
Right. All the women in the U.S. Senate are pushing President Biden to craft a plan to help women and girls in Afghanistan. A letter from the 24 female senators urges the president to develop a plan to preserve the political, economic, social, and basic human rights of Afghan women and girls. They express concerns about the fall of the Afghan government and the rise of the Taliban and how that's affecting hard-won gains for Afghan women and girls. The letter notes the Taliban's record of brutalizing, isolating, and denying women and girls basic liberties. So that's a story you can bet you're going to be continuing to hear a great deal about. Former Long Island Railroad track foreman John Nugent, who conspired with co-workers to skip work and collect pay and cover for each other's absences, was sentenced to 5 months in prison yesterday. Federal prosecutors used cell phone data to pin 420 fraudulently earned hours worth $34,094 on Nugent, the first of five accused conspirators to be sentenced. Nugent's $350,000 salary, which included $242,000 in overtime, made him the MTA's 11th highest paid employee that year, ahead of the authority CEO. Two other alleged conspirators, overtime king Thomas Caputo and Joseph Balestra, have also pleaded guilty to federal conspiracy. Defendants Frank Pozzonia and Frank Russo pleaded not guilty. I guess sometimes, Juliet, crime does not pay, right?
Let's hope not.
I mean,
I feel like 5 months is kind of nothing for that. You're responsible for these people. You're given this responsibility. I mean, this is only what he's been busted for.
I would assume he's got to make restitution for that as well.
Still.
Right. Well, the TSA is hiring security officers for a large number of open positions at LaGuardia and JFK airports. The agency says they need workers with the holidays coming up and the U.S. borders opening up again to international travelers. The TSA is holding a recruitment event today and tomorrow at the Four Points by Sheraton Flushing Hotel. TSA officers screen thousands of airline travelers daily, ensuring they arrive at their destinations safely. And some good news, speaking of travel opening up again, hotels, museums, and restaurants in the city say they can't wait to welcome back foreign tourists when the U.S. opens its borders to international travelers next week. Vaccinated tourists from other countries will be allowed into the United States for the first time since the pandemic began in March of 2020. There are some hotels that have yet to reopen. The Crown Plaza, which is an 800-room hotel in Times Square, is still closed today. The Hyatt at Grand Central Station just reopened on Monday, hoping to cash in on foreign travelers. New York City and Company, which is the city's tourism agency, says it will be airing TV ads in foreign markets, hoping to bring back international travelers in droves. And we all know what Sunday is. It's the New York City Marathon, also a big traffic day and a big sporting day. So if you are planning to do any traveling on Sunday, hopefully it will not involve the Verrazano Bridge. If you are going to Brooklyn or to Staten Island, be sure to allow some extra time and good luck to the tens of thousands of marathoners that are participating in Sunday's marathon. That does include our own Sid Rosenberg's wife, Danielle, who will be running her 23rd marathon, which is pretty impressive. So that is certainly a tough thing, a 26.2-mile race. And finally, before we get to sports with Matt Sapienza, State Senator Stu Serino is starting a petition regarding a growing effort to suspend the state's gas tax. The tariff currently raises the price by almost 50 cents per gallon. So Serino is saying that New York is one of the highest tax states in the country. You can bet, given the price at the pump of late, Senator Serino will be seeing a lot of support for that piece of legislation. This is the WABC Early News, 5:15. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Jonathan Taylor ran with power, ran with burst, even caught a few passes. He did it all, making life easier for his Indianapolis Colts teammates against the New York Jets, and he became a national star last night in the process. Taylor rushed for 172 yards and two scores. Carson Wentz threw three touchdown passes, and the Colts pulled away for a badly needed 45-30 victory. Taylor, who had a game-sealing 78-yard TD run, also had two catches for 28 yards. Nyheim Hines ran for 74 yards and a score on six carries as sliced through the Jets' defense for 260 yards on the ground. And that is your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports.
Thank you very much, Matthew. The current temperature right now in Manhattan is 41 degrees. It's going to get up to 51 degrees today, and we're going to have a really nice day. Lots of sun. It'll be pretty beautiful, actually, outside. But you should definitely wear, you know, a wrap.
Yesterday turned out to be a very nice day.
Stand in the sun, and you're going to be feeling A-OK. Tomorrow also looks really nice. We get a bit warmer, up to about 54 degrees, although we will see some more clouds rolling in. Today, it doesn't look like we're going to see many clouds at all. Tomorrow, some clouds, but we'll definitely have some sun, too. On Sunday, the clouds continue to roll in, and we'll get just a little bit warmer with a high of 56, but we will, again, still see some sun peeking through. And Monday and Tuesday of next week will be in the 60s. Actually, all next week so far, the forecasters say, will be in the low 60s, starting off with sun and maybe ending the week with a few showers, but it doesn't look too bad. All right, we got to go back in time just a bit.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. On this day, November 5th, 1605, it was the famous gunpowder plot. It was foiled, Frank. You know this one, where this Catholic rebel named Guy Fawkes and some of his pals, well, they were very unhappy with the Protestant king, James I of England, who was also James the Sixth of Scotland. So they decided, yeah, we just want to get rid of him. So we're going to assassinate him and replace him with a Catholic head of state. They also figured, why not just throw in a plan to blow up the two houses of parliament as well? But as we know now, the plans were discovered. Fawkes was caught. He was tortured and later executed with seven others. Every year in Britain, still, people celebrate the dashing of the plot wearing masks, those Guy Fawkes masks, which are kind of weird looking. I always find them disturbing.
Yeah, they do. Joe Piscopo was the first one to say they look like Salvador Dali masks.
Yes, yeah. That's very true. Yeah, really just scary looking. Like if somebody walked up to me in a dark street wearing one of those things, I would have a heart attack. Or I'd take my stun gun out, either one. They also light bonfires and they shoot off fireworks. Mm. So happy Guy Fawkes Day to all my British friends.
I don't understand, though, how that mask became such a symbol of opposition to government overreach, not only in Great Britain, but in this country.
I don't know. That's a very good question, Frank. One that I'm going to have to investigate.
Please do.
Really don't want to tell you about cops investigating in New York City a violent thug who's been hitting the streets of Manhattan over the past 30 days or so. Police have released some new video showing this guy. He's all in black, pulling down his ski mask at one of his targets. Officials say they need to get this guy because he has beaten at least one victim. He's even going into stores and, you know, messing with the clerks and things like that. They're concerned that this guy is getting more violent and they want to get him before anything else happens. The first reported incident occurred on October 24th. So it's actually been less than a month when the suspect approached a 71-year-old victim around 8 p.m. at West 12th Street in Greenwich Village. Mm. So I can't stand it when my mom comes through the city. Oh, it freaks me out.
I don't blame you.
And she's a loudmouth like me, so God help her.
A Texas real estate agent who bragged that her blonde hair and white skin would keep her out of jail despite participating in the January 6th riots was sentenced to 60 days in prison yesterday. U.S. District Judge Christopher Cooper acknowledged that while January 6th defendant Jenna Ryan played a lesser role in the crimes that occurred during the insurrection than many other defendants, that does not negate her culpability in what happened that day. The judge said, I don't think you could have missed the fact that this was no peaceful protest. You were a cheerleader. You cheered it on. On January 6th, according to the FBI, Ryan posted a number of videos to Facebook that showed her participating in the riot after she took a private plane to D.C. And even before heading to the Capitol, she shared a video of herself talking to a bathroom mirror and saying, quote, we're going to go down and storm the Capitol. That's why we came. And so that's what we're going to do.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up quite nicely. It is not looking good for the Trump team when it comes to trying to keep White House legal documents tied to the January 6th Capitol attack from coming to light. A federal judge on Thursday, clearly skeptical when lawyers tried to suggest that subpoenas from a House committee, the committee that's investigating the riot, were a, quote, illegal fishing expedition, among other claims. This judge, Tanya Chutkan, says we're going to know soon whether she'll allow that committee to get their hands on those documents. But it seems as though she is leaning in that direction.
Mm-hmm. White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said yesterday that President Biden is, quote, perfectly comfortable with cash payouts to migrant families separated at the border, but insisted the settlements won't be as high as $450,000. Fox News' Peter Ducey had asked Jean-Pierre during the briefing what Biden meant when he called the reports of payments garbage after the ACLU claimed that he hadn't been briefed properly. Jean-Pierre, standing in for Jen Psaki after her COVID diagnosis, responded by saying that settlements were happening, and he was responding to the claim that they could be close to $500,000.
Just days after CNN political commentator Van Jones decried Democrats for living in a, quote, echo chamber and chided them for being annoying, offensive, and out of touch, more lashings from their own. Let's start with the Democratic rebel Joe Manchin. He thinks the country is center-right. The West Virginia senator told CNN Thursday that colleagues on his side of the aisle need to resist the pull to the far left.
This is not a center-left or a left country. We are a center, if anything, as a little center-right country, and it's being, that's being shown.
He says working at the Capitol is a hostile environment, and he thinks President Biden needs to stop trying to force the kind of legislation forged under FDR. And one more quick story, Frank. More warnings for the left. Liberal strategist James Carville blames progressives and wokeness, actually he says stupid wokeness, for the red wave that hit this past Tuesday on Election Day.
I mean, just defund the police, lunacy, just take Abraham Lincoln's name off of schools. People see that, and it's just really have a suppressive effect all across the country, the Democrats.
I mean, you know, amen, brother. That's the headline here. Americans are getting pummeled at the pump. We're going to talk about that momentarily.
That's right. And quite a bit of other news that we're following, including Senator Rand Paul blasting Dr. Anthony Fauci at a Senate hearing yesterday over the gain of function research in Wuhan, China, calling for his resignation and alleging he's learned nothing from this pandemic. Paul grilled the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, part of the NIH, on why he repeatedly denied that the virus research was funded by the NIH prior to the COVID pandemic. Quote, gain of function could cause a pandemic even worse next time. That's the word from Senator Rand Paul. It could endanger civilization as we know it. The firebrand conservative claimed that this NIH-funded research created viruses not found in nature and that Fauci misled the American public by refusing to admit it. That was a claim that was reiterated by Peter Navarro in my discussion with him at 2:30 this morning. If people didn't get to hear that interview, they can go to WABCRadio.com and listen to the podcast.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't gain-of-function research being done under the Bush administration? And once Obama got there, he said, no more. We wouldn't fund it.
Yes, and it continued under the Trump administration as well.
So I think the finger gets blamed, the pointing and the blaming goes kind of all around the political circle.
Right. I guess the one thing that all three of those administrations, Bush, Obama and Trump, had in common mm-hmm. is that the guy that was making the decisions about these kinds of things was Anthony Fauci.
Gotcha. Real quick, 525, Americans are getting pummeled at the pump, and analysts from Bank of America predicting crude oil will blast up about 43% by next summer to roughly $120 a barrel. We're already feeling the pressure. Oof, God, no kidding. My husband went to fill up my stupid Jeep, and oh, my Lord, almost had a heart attack. Gas prices are actually the highest they've been in 7 years. And interestingly, what's topping the list when it comes to the top concerns of our neighbors? Not COVID. Americans say their number one concern these days is the economy, stupid. Not you guys are stupid, you know, just the same.
Phrase,
the economy.
Yeah.
Inflation has overtaken the pandemic with just 12% of U.S. citizens saying that pandemic is giving them the most anxiety. So there's that. And now we have a little entertainment news, I believe.
It's the WABC Early News. Entertainment.
Apparently, Nellie Olson wasn't the biggest problem on the hit 70s show Little House on the Prairie. The woman who played the Ingalls family matriarch has released a memoir, and it's hotter than a pail of butter left out in the Walnut Grove sun. They didn't really have Southern accents, so I'm sorry. Karen Grassley claims her on-screen hubby, Michael Landon, who played the handsome, manly, and very moral Pa Ingalls, bullied her on set. The 79-year-old says the late star, the late Landon, was basically a sexist pig who'd make disgusting jokes about sex and mocked her body. Grassley also claims Landon, who was producer and director, got nasty when she asked for a raise. He felt apparently her being the same, paid the same as the child actress, was good enough for her. The actress does admit that she was herself quite the troublemaker at times, drinking, having affairs, abortions, plural. But she says eventually the two reconciled before Landon's 1991 death from pancreatic cancer. And very quickly, it's set to be a worldwide blockbuster, although not in all parts of the globe. Marvel's Eternals hits theaters today, and it was expected to hit Middle Eastern cinemas next week. Cue the record scratch and the censors. The film is being pulled from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar because of the movie's superhero couple who happen to be gay. Although Saudi's Western-friendly Prince Mohammed bin Salman is seen as bringing a more liberal temperature to the country, the LGBTQ community there faces a host of punishments for merely existing, ranging from fines and floggings to chemical castrations and even death. Anyway, so today's going to be nice, chilly, so wear a sweater or a jacket. Tomorrow, we're looking at an even nicer day. Temperature-wise, it's going to be 54. And we will have some afternoon clouds roll in, but nothing too crazy. Sunday, more clouds, but a little bit warmer, 56 degrees. And by Monday and Tuesday, we'll get up into the low 60s and lots of sun. Very, very nice. Currently, it's 41 degrees in Manhattan. We have your Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up. Biz buzz. What's happening in biz buzz?
Well, a lot of discussion about inflation. You alluded to the problems that people are seeing at the gas pump. That's all a result of the same problem. And that problem could only be getting worse, according to the experts. I'll also tell you what you can expect from the stock market today.
Okay. And for adventure lovers, I've got a great place for you to possibly go that's open to tourists. That's coming up in Jet Set Juliet. And also, river cruises. I'm going to tell you why this is the time, people. You've got to get your river cruise booked. All of that coming up after the top five at 5:30.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Fabian. Current temperature is 41 degrees and the current time is 5:31. It's time for your top five at 5:30.
It's the top five at 5:30.
That's what I just said, Fabian. Four city unions have inked a deal with New York, giving them more time for unvaccinated members to apply for exemptions. Now, this group includes the city's sanitation workers. Whew. I mean, after that story about the leptospirosis or what is siprosis, I forget what it was called, but that thing that's infecting humans.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, clean our streets up. Interestingly, though, the deal does not include FDNY and EMS employees. It allows workers, though, to apply for either an exemption for religious or medical reasons, and they have until the end of today to do that. After that, they'll be allowed to work and still get paid while their case is pending.
About a global pledge to phase out coal is falling short. More than 40 countries signed on in a deal revealed at a climate conference in Scotland, but not the nations that burn the most coal. The U.S. didn't agree, but promised to halt overseas funding of oil, gas, and coal. One of the big culprits when it comes to use of coal happens to be China, and so far they have not signed on to any coal restrictions.
Well, speaking of the leptospirosis cases, I want to tell you about that because it's important. And pet owners, you need to be aware. The piling up of filth on the city streets is creating havoc for neighbors and their furry friends. The New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene data shows the number of cases of a dangerous bacterial disease that affects both humans and animals has skyrocketed. In fact, there are more leptospirosis cases in New York City this year than any other year in history. As of September 14th, humans were infected, 14 of them. One died. And now the New York Post is reporting that a puppy named Disco died after suffering acute kidney failure caused by this leptospirosis disease. Officials blame the rat population, which is contaminating the water, the soil, and food with its infected urine. So keep an eye out for that.
New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams plans to convert his first paychecks into Bitcoin, as he vowed yesterday to make New York City more welcoming to cryptocurrency. Eric Adams, who was elected overwhelmingly in Tuesday's election, announced in a Twitter post that he would take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin when he becomes mayor. He was responding to Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, who said he'll also take his next paycheck in Bitcoin. Adams' campaign spokesman later clarified that the mayor-elect would convert his pay into Bitcoin through an exchange. This announcement was a clear statement of support for crypto and follows remarks that Adams made this week indicating he wants to attract more crypto jobs to New York and, get this, possibly create a digital currency for New York City.
I just don't understand the digital currency.
Well,
stuff.
I think that's part of the reason that he's doing this is to enhance awareness among New Yorkers about how cryptocurrency works.
I better listen up. The Biden administration setting a vaccine mandate deadline for January 4th, the move taking into account the critical holiday retail season, obviously, and that this mandate will apply to companies with 100 or more employers, private companies, and it's expected to affect roughly 80 million people, more than 80 million, about 84 million, about 33 or so million of those people are unvaccinated. Meantime, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday that his state will soon file suit against the president's mandate, joining Georgia, Alabama, and other private plaintiffs. And those are your top five at five. We've got more news. Another day, another vaccination. CDC Advisory Committee recommending everyone under 60. So that's everybody here. Thank God I'm still included in that. Get vaccinated against, no, not just COVID, but hepatitis B, the chronic liver disease. The panel's vote was unanimous. They say the fight against the disease is a battle that we're losing ground on. It also recommends people who fall into certain risk groups get the shot, including those at risk of infection through sexual exposure, some international travelers, and people in prisons, among others.
Yep. No, that is. Hey, the mayor of Tinton Falls, New Jersey, has been reelected. You know why that's significant?
My friend lives down there.
Wow, well, that is
right by
good,
Red Bank.
That's a good indication of why it is significant. However, what makes it newsworthy is that the mayor of the Monmouth County Borough of Tinton Falls has been reelected at the age of 97 years of age.
Oh, my Lord.
And he is likely America's oldest mayor.
Wow.
Vito Perillo, who is a World War II veteran and a former electrical engineer for the Defense Department, beat three other opponents in this nonpartisan election on Tuesday.
Wow.
He first ran for mayor of Tinton Falls 3 years ago and had no political experience. While campaigning, he pointed to accomplishments during his first term, including reduction of municipal taxes and repaving more than 10 miles of sidewalks and roads.
Oh, how nice. Really quickly, if I only had one of these back when I was in Venice. A stunning 1,400-year-old golden amethyst ring has been discovered in the world's biggest ancient wine factory, which is in Israel, which is actually convenient, because amethyst, which is part of this ring, was believed back in the day to ward off the effects of excessive imbibing, hangovers, in layman's terms. So this 1,400-year-old ring that was found at this wine factory, I guess, was maybe worn by somebody who was, partaking too much.
Okay.
Just like I was in Venice. Lordy.
Well, you know what they say, when in Rome.
Well, I did, certainly did. For the weather, we're looking at a nice day today. 51 degrees, lots of sun. It will be chilly, but hey, I mean, we'll take it. This is fall. Tomorrow, we're looking at 54 degrees with some clouds rolling in, but still some sun. 56 degrees on Sunday with mostly cloudy skies, but again, there will be some sun. And by Monday and Tuesday, so the runners will have a pretty good day. That sounds like prime running weather to me.
You know? I would think so.
A little
yes.
sun, a little clouds, and 56.
My dad, who's a marathon runner, I think listening to us now can answer that. He can fill us in. On
Dad, can you text Frank and
let us know?
56 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, but a little mini blob of sun popping out there. Monday and Tuesday, we're looking at the 60s, low 60s, and lots of sun. Currently, the temperature is 41 degrees in Manhattan.
Biz Buzz.
Wall Street is back to setting records nearly every day. Yesterday was the S&P 500 and NASDAQ that finished at fresh record highs. The indexes were helped by first-time unemployment claims coming in at just 269,000. That's the lowest total in 20 months. Meantime, the latest jobs report will be released tomorrow at the closing bell. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 33 points. The S&P 500 rose 19, and the NASDAQ jumped 128 points. Goldman Sachs helped lead the Dow to a day in the red. Moderna's stock also got slammed. It fell about 18% after the company slashed its coronavirus vaccine sales forecast. On the plus side, Etsy and Qualcomm had double-digit gains. Merck rose 2% after regulators in the UK gave their approval to the world's first COVID-19 pill. Merck developed it with a Miami-based biotherapeutics company. And where negotiations are at a dead end between Kellogg's and the union representing bakery, confectionery, tobacco workers, and grain millers. Talks broke down last night with union negotiators saying the last offer was all about concessions and the negotiating committee would not bring it to the membership for a vote. Kellogg's workers in Memphis and across the country have been on strike since early October. The company's pay and benefit structure are the core issues separating the two sides. And finally, a nationwide gym chain is reporting that their memberships are almost back to where they were before the pandemic. Yesterday, Planet Fitness CEO Chris Rondeau spoke to CNBC about the numbers, saying the company has reached 15 million members, Julia.
That's good. That's good to hear. I know my husband's gym was like closed down and he cut his, you know, or paused his membership and everything. That was really rough for those people. Good to hear. Okay, it's time for Jet Set Juliet. One area that you can still get a deal travel-wise, because right now you're not going to be able to get some stunning deals anymore, I have a feeling, because of the international traveler exodus that's going to be happening from all over the world coming to the United States starting Monday. So deals will not be around, but one area that you will still get a deal, and I said this yesterday, I predicted this would happen, river cruises. This is my secret travel passion and my secret travel weapon, because I really don't want to talk about it because I don't want to give away how great they are. But people love the idea of being on a boat, but not being surrounded by thousands of other people these days, obviously, because of the pandemic. River cruises, as far as passengers, are roughly 100 to 150 passengers, depending on the boat. They're smaller. They go slow. I mean, you never feel any wobbling, never. So there aren't as many places to get drunk, you know, and lose your inhibitions and slobber your little germies all over each other.
Boring.
No, you can make fun, believe me. You just ask the two couples that my mom and I met. We were just the terrorists of the boat. So that these days is a bonus for travelers, you know, not having a bunch of people on top of each other constantly. The other thing I love about river cruising is that it's much more intimate and personalized, and it's relaxing, and you get into the little nooks and crannies of these towns and villages that you wouldn't see on a big ship. You'll see the towns along the river up close. You'll see the names of the little restaurants as you cruise by. You'll see the castles, the monasteries. It's just a whole different type of scenery than the big ships. And here's a little secret. U.S. and Canadian passengers generally are still somewhat hesitant about long-haul trips. Like, you know, you have to fly overseas, for instance, to Vienna to board your ship. So when I flew over there, I had to stop in Paris for a layover and then Vienna. And, you know, it's a long trip. And a lot of people still don't want to do that. So even though many of us are traveling internationally, we're not at the levels we once were. Plus, you know, Australians and New Zealanders, they've been out of the mix because of their super strict travel restrictions. So that means not as many people altogether vying for cabins, which means discounts and deals. So now is the time, people. Now is the time. I cannot state enough how great river cruises are. They can be pricey, but you usually get all of your food and cocktails and everything included. You get your excursions and you travel on these nice, beautiful buses. And it's just an awesome experience. And finally, if you're an adventure traveler, here's a tip. Libya is open. I would actually love to give you tips, but I prefer to keep my chances of being kidnapped and murdered small. So I will not be able to enlighten you with a wonderful description of my travels there. But should you be a risk taker, the country is opening its doors after years of war. Libyans apparently want to see tourists again. Not for the right reasons, I have a feeling, some of them. The U.S. advises Americans not to travel there, saying, quote, consular services for most Western nations remain either extremely limited or non-existent, and attempts at independent travel will most likely result in your death. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but and also very quickly, you mentioned this, I think, yesterday. Carrie Bradshaw's apartment is now on
Sex
Airbnb
City,
from
right.
Sex and the City. Yeah, it's now on Airbnb. Apparently, Sarah Jessica Parker teamed up with the company to recreate the brownstone. And one of the things I'm not sure if you mentioned yesterday was the flat that's here in D.C. was designed to mark the upcoming Sex and the City reboot and just like that. And you can even play dress up in some of the clothes, apparently, that she wore, or maybe copies of the clothes that she wore on the show that are in the closet.
That's pretty neat.
So I have no interest in that. But yeah, if you're a fan, it sounds pretty cool.
Absolutely. 5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Jonathan Taylor ran with power, ran with burst, even caught a few passes. He did it all, making life easier for his Indianapolis Colts teammates against those New York Jets. Boy, are they having it rough. And he became a national star last night in the process. Taylor rushed for 172 yards and two scores. Carson Wentz threw three touchdown passes, and the Colts pulled away for a badly needed 45-30 victory. But boy, do the Jets need one of those. Taylor, who had a game-sealing 78-yard TD run, also had two catches for 28 yards. Nyheim Hines ran for 74 yards and a score on six carries as sliced through the Jets defense for 260 yards on the ground. Now we go to hockey. Brock Nelson scored four times, and the New York Islanders beat the Montreal Canadiens 6-2 last night, playing the eighth of 13 straight road games to open the season while their new arena is finished. The Islanders scored more than four goals for the first time this season. Montreal allowed five goals or more for the sixth time this season. Oliver Wahlstrom and Jean-Gabriel Pageau also helped the Islanders improve to 4-2-2. And that is your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great weekend. We'll see you right back here on Monday.
Really quickly, the weather forecast. It's going to be a nice day today, 50s, and a beautiful weekend. Great day for running the marathon, which I would never do in a million years. Even if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't do it. I have failed as a human being and as a friend because I have promised my friend that I would take her out to Babylon to a place to get some Botox today. And it's a failure on my part because she's not going to my favorite place, Dolce Aesthetics. And only because she had made this reservation or appointment a while ago. I am going to try my best today to convince her she needs to change her ways. Or otherwise, we can't be friends. She needs to go to Dolce Aesthetics. And the reason I say that is because for so many reasons. Number one, I love Jen. She is the queen bee over at Dolce. They have several different shops around the city and also on Long Island. But she is really cool. I love her. She is a tough talking New Yorker. And I just can't say enough about her and also her staff. They're wonderful people. And they're great about telling you what they think that you need to do. They don't want you to go crazy, to go overboard. And I love that about her and them. Dolce Aesthetics New York has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now Oceanside on the island. So you can go out to the beach and then, I guess you can go out to the beach. It's a little chilly.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and then pop over to Dolce in Oceanside. If you're ready to experience prime results right now, you just text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95,000 for 10% off of your next treatment. You can visit them at DolceAestheticsNY.com. That's DolceAestheticsNY.com.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Frank will be here momentarily. I have some headlines and got to tell you, one of the folks behind the debunked Steele dossier busted yesterday. Igor Danchenko was arrested Thursday, charged with five counts of making false statements to the feds. Now, you know the Steele dossier. I don't have to go and explain. You guys are up on this. All sorts of really salacious things. This guy was apparently one of the creators of it. He was taken in as part of a special counsel inquiry headed up by Trump appointee John Durham. Supporters of President Trump say this is proof that Hillary Clinton was basically engaged in a witch hunt. And of course, his opponents say not true. And it was a Trump appointee that has done the special counsel inquiry. So, you know, the just goes round and round and round.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on this?
Well, not really. I mean, I'm glad that if he did, you know, do what he's accused of doing, I'm glad he's being prosecuted.
Yeah, I mean, he goes to court. And then a jury of his peers will figure it out. Portland, haven of Uber wokeness, latest city to refund its police department. Why? Well, record-breaking murder spike. That's why. Mayor Ted Wheeler asking for $5 million this fall to hire, more officers and to expand training and to buy more equipment. Getting more details now on that horrific crash. This just makes me sick. This story is horrible. This is the one involving the former NFL star Henry Ruggs III. He and his girlfriend had reportedly been out in Vegas enjoying a night on the town over the weekend when he decided to get behind the wheel. He was wasted, apparently, and he also decided to open up his swanky Corvette onto the roads to the tune of 156 miles an hour. You know the rest of the story. He lost control. Apparently, he crashed into another car. Well, not apparently. He crashed into another car, which was carrying 23-year-old Tina Tintor, killing her and her dog in an unspeakably tragic and just brutal way. I don't want to get into the details. It just gives me chills to even talk about it. But on Thursday, Tintor's brother spoke out, this woman who was killed. He says his family escaped war-torn Serbia in 2000 for a quieter, safer life in the desert of Nevada. He says his family, understandably, is devastated. Ruggs was let go from the Las Vegas Raiders after the accident. He faces at least 20 years in prison. I mean, it could be up to 46 years if he's convicted on all counts.
Sad story.
Yeah, and so will the U.S. follow suit? That's the big question, because the Brits are the first in the world to approve the Merck at-home COVID pill. This is really exciting. It's the first antiviral proven to treat COVID patients. All you need to do is pop a tablet twice a day if you're infected, and the risk of severe illness gets cut in half. You're supposed to do it early on. It could be mass marketed sometime very soon, but for now it's being targeted at people who are considered high risk, like the immunocompromised and the elderly. And speaking of COVID, it changed the lives of most, if not all of us. We lost friends. We lost family. We even lost jobs. Although for some, the pandemic was an impetus for making a life change by leaving the corporate world and kind of going after their dreams. Some called it the Great Resignation. Well, now prepare for the Great Separation, Frank. New data shows there's going to be a huge surge in breakups now that most of the harsher lockdown restrictions are being lifted. In fact, researchers found 4 out of 10 people between the ages of 18 and 34 claim that they're in strained relationships thanks to the big C, and I don't mean cancer. On the bright side, U.S. jobless claims fell for a third week in a row, around 14,000 to 269,000.
It was one of the key factors in two stock market indexes setting records yesterday. So certainly good news.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, that's the lowest weekly level since the pandemic hit back in March of 2020. So I guess we're on our way to positive things. And those are some of your headlines. Hey, it's not Sid.
It's Russ.
It's Russ Salzberg.
It's like a reunion here.
What's going on?
Good to see you.
Russ, you're in for Sid Rosenberg today.
So I hear it's one Berg for another Berg.
That's right.
Jew for Jew.
That's right. We have a quota to meet.
Yes, yes.
What are you guys doing today on the show?
Beats me.
And you just kind of roll with it.
No. Yeah.
That's what's so much fun about
No.
Show,
I mean, you know, it's Bernie's gig, so, you know, Bernie drives the bus. But this, like, I was texting with him yesterday. There's certainly no shortage of things to talk about.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean.
What's on your,
what's on your agenda?
Well, I'll tell you what. Did you see this professor from Rutgers?
Unbelievable.
Now, I didn't see what.
Okay.
I didn't see the story.
Her name is Brittany Cooper. Let me just say this in reference to white people. I quote, "We got to take these mother bleepers out."
Oh, I did see that. Now, she is an African-American woman.
Yes.
She also called them villains.
Okay. Yes, villains.
We called us.
She termed whiteness as an inconvenient interruption. Mm. White people are committed to being villains in the aggregate. Like, I read this and like, huh? It jumps out of the page.
So is there any context to put around this? Are we somehow reading?
She's talking, you know, it's all about critical race theory and she teaches. I mean, this is at Rutgers. You know, she's a professor at Rutgers.
State school. Unbelievable. In a similar vein, let me take advantage of your sports background, ask you about the story that's going on in the NBA where they're investigating claims of racism and sexism by the owner of the Suns.
Phoenix Sun. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I know as much as you know, Frank. I mean, if it's true, then something needs to be done. But, you know, there has to be an investigation. There are people, including his general manager, James Jones, who's, a very reputable guy, say he says it's not true. He's never heard anything like that. You know, part of the argument that he's used, quote unquote, the N-word. Okay, but he's used the N-word, not calling somebody the N-word, it just in discussion, having a discussion. Like apparently Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors at one point, you know, these guys talk like trash all the time. So he called somebody the N-word. So then he said, well, why can't I say it?
Right.
And, you know, that's a whole other discussion.
Totally. Right. Totally.
That goes into music and everything
else. So it's
not
like a Donald Sterling situation.
No, I don't think it is.
It's certainly going to be interesting. Always interesting when Russ Salzberg's here. 6 to 10, listen to Russ and Bernie coming up in just a couple of minutes.
And you from too. The Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 51 degrees for a high today, lots of sun. Tonight's going to be clear to partly cloudy, 37 degrees for a low. Tomorrow, 54 degrees, some afternoon clouds, but mainly sunny. Sunday, going to be a nice day, 56, mostly cloudy, but a bit of sun, too, popping in there for the marathon here in the city. And Monday and Tuesday of next week look really nice. We're going to get up into the low 60s with tons of sun. Right now, it's 41 degrees in Manhattan. And one more thing. His name is Doug, and he is massive. Not Jason Momoa-style massive, more like world's biggest gourd-style massive. You see, Doug is a spud. A potato. He comes from New Zealand and he weighs in at a mind-blowing, maybe it's a she, I don't know. They named it Doug. He weighs in at a mind-blowing 17 and a half pounds. Now, one would think, well, this would certainly impress the relatives at Thanksgiving dinner. But of course, New Zealanders, where Doug was born or hatched or grew, they don't celebrate the holiday. So instead, the owner of Doug says that he is going to turn Doug into the next best thing, vodka. I like the man's style.
That's cool.
I like that farmer style.
And one more thing, Juliet. There are three new members of the National Toy Hall of Fame. The Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, New York, announced American Girl Dolls, the board game Risk, and Sand were inducted on Thursday. Yes, the toys were among 12 finalists, which also included Cabbage Patch Kids, Battleship, and Billiards. American Girl Dolls were first created back in 1986. Risk was first played here in the United States in 1959, and the museum argued Sand may be the most universal and oldest toy in the world.
Oh, I love that. Excellent. Have a great weekend, everybody.